tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, 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 everybody. It's your girl, Carla Renata, a.k.a. the Curvy Film Critic. I don't know about y'all, but one of the best things about being in the COVID-19 lockdown, shutdown, whatever you want to call it, is that we got an opportunity to catch the Lifetime movie, The Clark Sisters, First Ladies of Gospel. And I got the awesome director of that project with me today, Miss Christine Swanson. How you doing, girl?
Good, thank you, thank you.
Good. So let's just get right on into it. How are you doing? How are you coping with this new normal, so to speak?
You know, like as a creative, and I think you can relate, Carla, it's like, it's always good to have downtime to reset and reassess. So I'm taking advantage of that as much as I can. So no complaints on my end.
I know that's right. I feel your pain on that one. I really do. Let's talk about the Clark Sisters. How did you come to the project and get it? I know that you were attached to it. I know the project had some people attached to it before you did. So if you could just tell the listeners and the viewers how all of that went down so that they're aware.
Well, I think it was in the works. Like it's been shopped around for 15 years and with no luck. And then I think when the producer, Holly Carter, took it to Queen Latifah and she came on board with Mary J. Blige and Missy Elliott, immediately got greenlit at Lifetime. So those guys served as executive producers. And then I interviewed for the job. And it was funny because I was working on an episode. I was directing an episode of Chicago PD when I got the call for the interview. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I know I need to do the Clark Sisters movie, but I couldn't prep for the interview because I was busy directing something else. But when I could get quiet and I read the script and I just thought of things that I thought that I can contribute, I really pitched the heck out of it. But most importantly, I let them know that, listen, I'm an award-winning filmmaker from Detroit, Michigan. The Clark Sisters are from Detroit, Michigan. I'm supposed to direct this movie. And but once I gave them some ideas about how I saw it visually and how we should come into the movie, and I think the producers and the network really resonated with that, and I got hired.
Cool. So I know I said this to you before. I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, the Sanctified Church in St. Louis, Missouri. And my grandparents, I know you're laughing, but it is the truth.
It's extra. Look,
the Christ Community Temple in St. Louis, Missouri, that's where I grew up, where people were shouting and running up and down the aisles. My great-grandmother was head of the usher board. My great-grandfather was head of the deacons. I was part of the little choir that they had called the Sunshine Band. Nice. And we sang every Sunday. So in watching the film, I was blown away because it brought me right back to my childhood. It reminded me of what I experienced every Sunday. Well, not just every Sunday, but every day of the week, because we were in church every day of the week for one thing or another. But what type of research went into that? Because y'all got that right. It was spot on. Right. It was precise. And people that, you know, as you say, the extra people from the Sanctified Church, they will tell you that you got it right. You got it right. Well, and, listen, you know,
we were blessed with two prolific Kojic people. And one was Holly Carter's. Well, it's not that I don't know. I think she's Kojic, but she was very specific about like getting historical facts right. But one of our other producers, Ronnie Petrie, is a Kojic diehard. So he was like our onset historian. So all the details, like I'm talking down to like, well, no, they would say it like this, you know, that we had that person on set always moderating what we were doing. And I was raised AME. So we weren't jumping off the pews like COVID. So that extra eyes was really, really helpful. And you know what's funny? Like last week, Billy Porter called me and Donna Lawrence. You know, Billy Porter was raised Kojic.
Oh, I know. I worked with Billy Porter on Broadway. Yeah, so we've had that conversation. Yeah.
Billy was like, and Billy and his friends called us and said, we just want to honor you for your attention to detail. And thank you for making this movie, because this is everything to us. So when you get a call like that from somebody who's a peer in the industry, but who was raised Kojic and who's telling us like, you guys nailed it, that felt good. Cause we're like, okay, good. And then you're co-signing on that. So, whoo.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Girl, look, you ain't got to go like that. Cause I'm telling you, I was like, this is a story I didn't share with you before that I'll share with you now. When I was growing up, my great grandparents and my great aunts and stuff, they used to do the church conventions, like the one that is depicted in the film, right? And one of the members of my aunt's singing group had to fall out. So other members of my family suggested, why don't you use Carla? Carla can sing, use Carla. So my aunt, her name was Mama Clee. So Mama Clee was like, all right, you got to audition. I'm like, audition? I don't get, you know, championed in because I'm family. So she made me audition and I started singing. And Mama Clee, when I finished singing, I think she had me sing something like Going Up Yonder or something like that. And when I finished singing that, she looked at me, she's like, why you sing so white? Why you guys sound so white when you sing? She was not having any of it. And it hurt my feelings so bad, because as far as she was concerned, I had just no soul, just no gospel soul. But it was all good, because what that did is it helped me to learn how to take and receive criticism, right? So it was all good in the hood. But that when I think of her now and I think of that story, it just makes me laugh. And when I watched the movie, I immediately went back to that time. So it was such a great thing. So let's talk about the Clark sisters for a minute, the first ladies of gospel. These women endured so very much, and their sound is so incredibly specific. How did you go about putting that cast together? Because it's an extraordinary cast, and many of them look and sound like the real deal. I had interviewed the Clark sisters on the red carpet for NAACP right before this. So I was like, oh my God, there's such a huge, remarkable likeness to the real thing.
Oh yeah.
So let's talk about that for a second.
So listen, all of my friends are singers, a lot of them are Broadway singers. In fact, one of my best friends is Teron Brooks.
I know.
So I know what authentic singing is and I know what it ain't, right? So when I approached this project, what Lifetime was going to do was cast actors to lip sync, you know, overdubs. And it just did not sit right with me. I think in the back of my mind, I was scared of my singer friends.
Why?
Because when you know great vocalists like the ones I do, Yvette Kassan is another one of my good friends.
Oh yeah, I know. I know both of those people very well.
You gotta come correct, right?
Yeah, you do.
So what I did was I approached Donald Lawrence, our prolific music producer, and I'm like, listen, Donald, let me run this by you before I pitch it to Lifetime, because I don't think they're gonna understand it. But I gotta make sure I get the metrics right and the language right with you first. And I'm like, listen, how can I cast real singers? Do you think it's possible to recreate that Clark Sisters blend? And he thought about it. And he was like, I think we can do it. And I would need three vocalists with this type of quality for each. And I can use that and create the blend. And I said,
what was the quality?
Well, okay. So look at the three people that we have. So one had to sing like Shalaya Frazier, who did Dorinda's voice. One had to sing like Karen Clark, who was Kiara Shear, and one had to sing like Twinkie, which was Christina Bell. So if you take each of those women and their distinct vocal qualities, that's the ingredient or the ingredients he needed to create that blend. And then we got an extra bonus through Angela Burchett, who played Jackie, who's an amazing Broadway singer and who actually sang under Maddie Moss Clark. So he said if he had that, then he can create it. And I'm like, great. So I was already working with Shalaya Frazier on something else when I got the call for the job. So I was like, Shalaya, I'm going to direct a Clark Sisters movie. Who do you want to play? And she was like, Dorinda. And which she looks just like Dorinda, so that makes sense. I'm like, great. And then when I first time I met Kiera, you know, she was like, you know, I would love to audition for a small role. And I'm just looking at her. I said, no, you are going to play your mama. And she was like, no. I don't think I could. I said, listen, nobody else can play your mother but you. You have to trust me on this. Nobody can. You can't even see it now, but I see it. Okay. You're going to play your mother. Wrap your mind around it. Now, I had to convince the network, who really only wanted actresses, right? So what I did was I flew to Detroit and I met with Kiera and I had Shaleya meet me in Detroit. She was on tour with Dave Koz and she had a day. She had a day off. I'm like, meet me in Detroit. And I had both of them sit at a keyboard and I'm like, sing a song. I videotaped it. I sent it to the producers. They sent it to the network and everybody was blown away, which is how you should feel when people sing as great as they can sing and it's live. So here's the other thing. So once we were able to cast the singers, you know, like Shaleya looked like Dorinda, Kiera looked like her mother. And Christina, you know, we found her through some audition tapes that she had submitted, just really felt like Twinkie. I mean, I just feel at that point that's God ordained, right? It's just divinely orchestrated. But
right,
you blend them all together, just something kismet and magical happened. And a lot of it had to do with Donald's attention to detail, you know, but a lot of it had to do with every single person came with it, with the kind of mindset that we are going to honor the Clark Sisters with our gifting and we're going to reach for the rafters. And so what these girls did, now they laid down their vocals in pre-record. So we use that as a safety track, but every time you see them singing and I'm in a close-up, they're singing live. And I personally feel that that's how gospel music should be experienced. And that's why I think the quality of this display of musicality in this film is different from anything you've ever seen before, because we did it differently than anything that's been done before.
It was awesome. And 2.7 million people thought so, including me being one of them. And, you know, we have a chat room that runs during this show and people, yes, girl, we do. It's like that. And they're like, they said they're ecstatic that you're here. Camille Tucker is sending you some love.
The writer.
Camille, the writer. Yep, Sylvia sending Jones. You love. They're saying excellent casting. They're saying the movie was good and then some. And they wanted to know if Raven really did sing. I told them, yes, Raven really did sing.
When she was on camera, she was really singing. Now, she wasn't there when we did the pre-records. It was just those four singers. But there were times when that's the beauty of having singers. There's at least 3 to 4 times in the movie where I'm like, sing live. Let's do this a cappella. When Twinkie is teaching her, you brought the sunshine, and she's like, repeat after me. That's, they're singing live. All of that.
Yeah.
After all that live. So I'm just proud of them because they're so talented and they were able to just go because they're professional singers.
Now let's talk about Anjanue Ellis, because she is like a tsunami that has swept into that movie and taken on this woman who is so strong, that has all these girls and has raised them to be these superstars. She didn't raise them with the thought of them being superstars. She just raised them as her daughters, wanting them to be the best human beings that they could be within, you know, her power, right? We got Anjanue playing this part, and Anjanue is just crazy. How many people, crazy good is what I mean to say. How many people did you see for that role, and what was it about Anjanue that made you settle upon her?
Well, here's the process. So at Lifetime, what they do is they write a list of people. Like, we need one of these names to headline the movie, you know? So if we can get one of these stars, then what I was like, well, then can I cast whoever I want for the singers, you know? So there was that give and take. And so Anjanue was one of maybe 5 or so names on the list. And it was just a matter of, checking off who was available and who was amenable. So she checked off both boxes, and when she was available and amenable, immediately offered her the role. So it's not like she didn't audition or anything. She was on that list of being a spectacular actress that she was.
That is so amazing. Now, as a director, how do you prepare to shoot something like this? Because you are shooting people singing, you know, you have to decide who's going to get a close up, when you're going to do a wide shot to shoot all of them, you know, when you're going to push in for the close up to make it a more dramatic effect. So how did you have to prep for all of that?
No, we prep pretty extensively. And my main thing was this, in a movie that is about musical geniuses. So getting back to Maddie Moss Clark, at a certain point in her life, she did decide to make them stars. She did decide. She was like, I'm going to make them like the Jackson Five. Like, she was very...
Yeah, there's that line where she does say that. Yeah, yeah,
she's focused and astute in the way that she went about doing it, which speaks to her own fortitude and genius. She taught those girls everything that they knew. They played their own instruments. They wrote their own songs. They recorded their own albums. They were homegrown geniuses. So what I wanted to do was a movie that is about musical geniuses. How do I highlight the musicality? So I came in it with a very specific approach as to how I wanted to shoot musicians in a way that accentuated their genius while juxtaposing their humanity. So what you'll see is, so like I use a lot of different movie references to speak with my cinematographer, production designer, and costume designer, because there was a tonal quality that I wanted to maintain, you know? So some of the films that we referenced, and this was a year ago, so I'm jogging my memory, would be like If Beale Street Could Talk, The Get Down, what's the one about Queen, the lead singer in Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, that movie, the Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. So I use, and then actually even referenced a Kanye West video. So we just took all-
Oh wait, which Kanye West video, do you remember?
High School Dropout, College Dropout.
Okay, Jesus Walks?
No, it was It'll come to me in a second.
Okay. So,
no problem. I just see a lot of violins playing. It was the way the camera moved through the musicians. So in a movie about musical geniuses, how do we highlight musicality? So I was very specific about shooting vocalists being vocalists. So you'll see a lot of side profiles of them really belting out. So like when they're belting out and singing, you're right there with them. And because they're singing live, you're feeling like the energy that they're putting out. So I just wanted to maximize that whenever I could. So we're in the music and we're accentuating the musicality of musical geniuses. Like I'll do extreme close-ups of the Uncle Bill at the soundboard pressing buttons as these girls are about to make history. You know, so there's an emphasis to the musicality of, because I just, the thing about Black women is we expect them to be great singers, right?
Yes.
The ones that are.
Yes.
How much do we emphasize Black women's labor?
Hardly ever.
Yes, into becoming these great singers. There's work that you do, Carla, behind the scenes. As you get ready to be in front, right? I wanted to capture that. I wanted to capture essences of that so that we properly highlight the labor that went into creating these musical geniuses. So that was kind of my aesthetic approach.
So Camille is telling me that you and Ingenue are kindred spirits. And she wants you to talk about how you all were fearless in tackling this material.
So being from Detroit, there was a weight on my shoulders to get this right. Because I don't want to go back home and be like hiding and be like, yeah, I did the bad.
You're like, yeah, I did that right. Movie.
So that was really heavy on my heart. But for Ingenue, I mean, I think she just carried the weight on her shoulders of properly channeling Maddie Moss Clark in a way that she felt real and authentic, whether she was loved or hated. And then not caring, throwing that away and just going for it. So when I saw this woman in action, you know, and we talked extensively about the right setups to make sure that we showed Maddie Moss Clark as a disciplinarian and as authoritative, but also warm and loving and always trying to find a balance in between. Ingenue Ellis, I mean, honestly, like, she is one of the best actresses working today, black or white. I'm not even going to put it in that category. It's black or white.
Absolutely.
This was just like the alignment of the stars that she got a role so meaty like this. And when she started flexing, I was like, okay, move. Like, we blocking for her, because you have to block for genius when it shows up. So it was just fortuitous and serendipitous that a genius of her caliber was portraying a musical genius of Maddie Moss Clark's caliber, and just everything aligned. So when, as a director, your job is to make space for that and to make sure that they feel safety so they can really pull from the depths of their rich well and just flex. And that's how we were able to collaborate together. And she thanked me, like, you know, as we were reflecting on this, she was like, thank you for trusting me.
That's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful that have that type of relationship with the director, because as an actor, you have to trust the person that's guiding you on this journey. And as the director, you have to trust the person that's taking you on the journey. So it's really beautiful to hear that you guys were able to have that meeting in the middle that allowed you both to soar and sing in the process. Speaking of soaring and singing, what makes your spirit soar and sing in the process of you doing this type of work?
Well, I'm truly blessed to be married to the most wonderful human being on the planet. His name is Michael Swanson. And Michael Swanson is a studio executive at NBC Universal. So Michael oversees like some of their biggest hit shows, like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Master of None, The Good Place. So he's big time in his own lane, but it's like without his covering and encouragement, it's hard to do what I do, on top of the fact that we have four children together. So
wow.
Yeah, we for ages 11 to 19. But
y'all too shy of a Brady Bunch over there.
A little bit. And there would be years. I took 15 years off to raise my children. So it's like I'm coming back in mid-career, you know? So part of the journey was always having that encouragement from my husband, who knew what I was capable of doing, but knew that I didn't have opportunity. And he would always tell me, your day is going to come. Your day is going to come and you're going to be okay. And he's still my biggest cheerleader to date.
I love that. That's so beautiful. Black love at its best and finest. I love it. Yay. Black love. Yay.
Almost 30 years. We've been together 30 years. And we have our own production company called Faith Filmworks. And that's how I met Teron. 20 years ago, I made a musically inspired movie called All About You, starring Teron.
Think about that.
And Renee Goldsberry. So
I know Renee too. All of us go way back. I've known them for a long time, all of the people that you've mentioned. And I'm on Superstore at NBC, so I'm sure Michael has something to do with that too. So I recur on there.
Oh, okay, great.
I wanted to ask you, how are you handling, I'm sure you've gotten accolades for your work in the past, but I'm sure nothing has compared to what is happening with this Clark Sisters project, because people have been talking about it almost all day, every day since it debuted a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. How are you embracing those accolades that are coming your way for the project?
Well, you know, interestingly, I have to say it was pretty overwhelming at first. And it was like, is this happening? Really? And then, you know, I have my husband who's like, of course it's happening, embrace it. But at the same time, I'm deeply humbled by it, because I did not expect this outcome at all. When you're in the trenches making the movie, you are not concerned about the outcome. You got to focus on the task at hand. And I just, my prayer was, please just let the Clark Sisters be happy. I don't care about nobody else. Like, just please let the Clark Sisters be okay with it. And a month, February, March, almost 2 months before the movie aired, you know, I'm just in limbo. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. And Dorinda Clark sent me a text, and she said to me, "Christine, I want to thank you for the awesome work you did for the sisters. This movie is fantastic." And then she gave a little prophecy, and she's like, "And I want you to hold on to your horses, because things are going to happen for you really fast. Okay. Trust me on this. You just be ready and keep God first." And after I read that text, I was done. I'm like, cause she had already seen the movie. So I'm like, okay, if Dorinda Clark is happy with it, then I can rest a little bit easier. And that was always my only goal. And I felt that on some level that God put me on this movie. And for me, it was an act of service. Like, it was my pleasure and an act of service to do this for these women who mean so much to many people all over the world, but especially for my hometown. So
Detroit.
That's right, Detroit, Michigan. So, you know, I have some happy relatives in Detroit. They're so proud of me. And like, for that alone, it was just worth it. You know what I mean? Like, Detroit is really going through it with this virus. And I just feel like if we can offer a little glimmer of hope for what's possible that comes out of Detroit, you look at the Clark Sisters, I'm happy to be a part of that, being a homegrown chick from Detroit as well.
Well, we're both Midwestern girls, born and bred. I'm from Missouri, you from Michigan.
That's
we
right.
both representing in our individual lane. So yay us.
Amen.
Yay us and amen. Congratulations on 30 years of love. Congratulations on this film. The guys in the chat room are telling me that the video you were trying to remember is All Falls Down, the Kanye video.
Oh, okay.
To thank you so much for coming over here and hanging with me this afternoon with four kids and a husband, and y'all being on lockdown, shut in, shut down. You know, I know that this was a lot for you to do, and I wholeheartedly appreciate it. But before I let you go, what are y'all streaming live in that household right now? Because you got to be streaming something other than the Clark Sisters.
Well, I did see Black as F.
Okay. What'd you think?
I think Kenya Barris is brave as F. So I'm just like, well, that was brave. So, and I'm all about brave artists. So for that alone, dude, kudos. Kudos for your bravery and honesty and, you know, artistic integrity, you know, however exposing it is of you, you know? So it's out there. And I'm like, whoa.
It is. He let his draws all the way down, didn't he? He was like, bam.
Wow, wow, wow. So my husband and I watched and laughed our way through the whole series with our jaws dropped on the floor.
I enjoyed it. I hollered at a couple of things. That barbecue scene had me rolling for real, for real.
That's
when they
right.
were comparing Joanna Man to Tootsie. And right? Okay. And then I forgot. I'm like, have I ever seen Joanna Man? And I was like, I've never seen it. And it came on television yesterday twice. And I sat down and watched it. And it is like to see with a black person in drag playing basketball. That is exactly what it was. I hollered. But absolutely, thanks to Kenya Barris, it would have never been on my radar.
That's right.
So, girl, I'm going to let you get up on out of here. I had so much fun doing this with you. Thank you, thank you, thank you a thousand times. There were so many people in the chat room. They're saying, preach Christine. Uh-huh. Yes, Detroit, my hometown. They want to know, once again, what your production company name is. Is it Faith Filmworks?
Faith Filmworks.
And where can people find you online?
Lee Swanson 44.
Cool. On Twitter and Instagram or just Twitter?
Yep, Twitter.
Twitter and Instagram. Yes. Great. And do you have anything else coming up that we can look out for?
You know what? It's funny. I've been inundated with, hey, can you do my biopic? You know, and like, I did the Mickey Howard story. So I love doing biopics, especially about our legends. So, you know, if it sounds right, let's talk about it. But one of my passion projects that I've been working on forever, and then I get interrupted by jobs, is I've been trying to make a musical movie, like a feature film, and it's like the Black La La Land. And so
look, when you do that one, your girl over here, I'm just saying.
All right, let's talk. So, you know, I want to parlay having had this musical-like experience on this Clark Sisters movie and then really raise it up a notch and do it just full on out. And it's like a love letter to Black music. So
that's what
I'm trying to put together now with some very creative friends of mine. So we'll see how that plays out.
I love that. When that happens, come back around here and we'll talk about that then too. Hopefully you'll still want to talk to me, you know, if you're not too big.
No. I mean, we go way back, Carla, and we have too many friends in common. So that's
true.
Keep it real. Like, we're just all storytellers.
This is true. Well, thank you so much, Christine. I won't hold you any longer. I appreciate you.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. You're welcome. Oh my goodness, y'all. I thoroughly enjoyed having Christine here. It was so wonderful to see her. Lots of y'all were in the chat room. I appreciate you tuning in and coming and hanging out with us, sister. It's been really wonderful to spend this Sunday this way and speak to people that I know, that I love, that I enjoy, that I respect. Next week, it'll be a solo journey for me. I'll be here all alone. But I will catch up on some of the reviews and things, and we will see y'all then. Okay, bye.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.